Are you a single believer looking for the love of your life?
Or are you a married believer looking to grow the love you already have?
If you like practical advice
based on the Word of God
with real life examples,
you're in the right place.
I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
Welcome to Love with the Lines. Hello, and welcome to Love with the Lines. I'm Cindy, and Wayne's not with me right now, but you'll hear him in this encore presentation of episode 14. We realize that some of our newer listeners can't get back all the way to our original episodes in the archives, so we are every once in a while just bringing out some of the episodes that we thought would be beneficial, and we're rebroadcasting them for your listening enjoyment. So here is our rebroadcast of episode 14. Hello, and welcome to Love with the Lines. I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
And today we're going to talk about navigating stressful events.
As if that ever happened in our life.
It actually is the name we came up with after trying to come up with a name for the podcast on the actual specific stressful event we're going to talk about today. But we figured we would give it a more broad title because we'll need to visit this again, we think.
Oh, yeah. So, Maybe not this specific topic, but then again, maybe.
The broader topic of navigating stressful events. Mm-hmm. And so the scripture that we've chosen to go with this one is from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. In the New International Version, it says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." And the New Living Translation says, "Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love." Now, again, for us to be responsible in scriptural context, this is the Apostle Paul talking to the church in Ephesus about getting along with other people in the body of Christ. But we think this is applicable to marriage relationships as well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So the stressful event we'd like to talk about tonight is getting ready to go on a trip.
Yep, and as much as we look forward to going on the trip, the preparation, well, pretty much our whole married life, going on vacation has always been rather interesting, I guess is a good way to put it. I still remember one of the first trips we took with our little girl. Mm-hmm. We went all the way across the state of Pennsylvania to friends out to visit your college roommate, and we took a picture of her in the back seat of our car. You could see her head sticking up amongst all the paraphernalia, but everything was packed in there. And I know by the time we got everything, including her in the car and us in the car, I don't think we were in a really good mood.
No. And that was, we had a tiny car, and that was,
tiny
she
car.
Was at the age we were going for a week, and we had to pack the high chair and the pack and play and the walker and all kinds of the baby bathtub, because our friends didn't have children yet. So they didn't have any kid stuff. So we had to take it all with us. So yeah, I remember, I can picture that in my mind.
Oh, yeah. Imagine having a van load of stuff and packing it in a compact car. That's pretty much what we did.
Yep, that's what we did. So, but it's always been stressful. It doesn't help that I'm a procrastinator. I said it. There it is.
There you are.
I'm a procrastinator.
Mm-hmm. I do sometimes. But just the way we prepare for things, we are definitely opposites in that effect. I mean, you're a planner, and then you want to get everything done yesterday, but it's today, and you're okay working. You know, you'll get on a roll, and you'll just want to keep going and going and going, and 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm sleep-deprived and half asleep and trying to help you, which doesn't help anything. Mm-hmm. And then you see a squirrel, as we talked about today. If you've ever seen the movie Up, And I forget what the dog's name is, where he's in conversation. All of a sudden, he's a squirrel.
Yeah, the dog with the collar that
we talk. The dog with
the
collar, yeah.
Yes, he would be talking to the humans and see a squirrel go, squirrel. So, and that's what my family will actually say to me if I get off topic. They're like, did you see a squirrel? I have a little bit of ADHD, and so that contributes to the squirrel moments. But, and then I have this need to have the house look in order before we leave. And, well, I actually think, you know what? I never thought about that. I don't know that I even tell you this. It's probably based out of an embarrassing moment I had when I was single before we were married. It was in the apartment I was living in when we got married. Well, I was an instructor with a marching band. I was a color guard instructor, and the band was going to the Fiesta Bowl to be in the Fiesta parade and perform at the in a competition that was going to happen the day before the Fiesta Bowl. And it was one of those, I had never been away really for that long before, cross country, not being able to get anywhere. I didn't have a lot of money, and so I had to pack everything I needed. I wouldn't be able to buy what I needed anywhere else. Like, I had to take what I needed. And so, and I was alone, and I didn't think anything of it because I lived alone, so nobody else was going to see the house. Well, I left my apartment in shambles, basically. I mean, it was just clothes everywhere, bed unmade, just, you know, towels on the floor, everything, because we had to leave at like 4 or 5 in the morning. And so I just stayed up and was trying to pack everything. Well, while I was away, the landlords decided to come in to fix something in my bathroom. So that might be where this stems from. You know, I never thought about that, but that's probably the traumatic event that made it, makes it important to me to be cleaned up before we go. Typically, we have somebody who's coming in who's not a family member to pet sit. And so I know that there's going to be other people in my home who really could not care any less about what our house looks like. But I have that. So on top of packing, I'm also cleaning.
Yeah. And I must admit, I know we've talked about this. That is one annoying thing where we're trying to get ready and I'm trying to pack stuff and, you know, we're just trying to get everything packed and ready to go and everything like that. And next thing I know, you're cleaning, and it's like
I'm wiping down the baseboards, organizing the silverware drawer,
taking everything out and putting it back in.
And then, of course, we're getting ready to go, and I'm like, oh, I forgot to do this. Oh, I need to do this. Oh, I forgot to do this. And that's even with my copious lists, because I'm a list
maker.
You're
a list maker.
And I do try to do a good job of planning and knowing what we need to take so I can check it off the list and make sure we have everything. But sometimes I forget to put stuff on the list.
And I'm not a list maker. I mean, I occasionally do, but that's, I mean, I when I pack, I just kind of pack what I think I'm going to need, and that's it. So we're definitely opposites in that part. But a lot of times you'll have a lot of the stuff packed, and I'll just figure out how it goes in the vehicle. So.
Yeah, we do a lot of trips where we're going to houses. We, you know, get them through Airbnb or VRBO. We're getting ready to go on a trip with two other couples that we've rented a house so that we can all be together in the same space. And so then we're packing towels and sheets and blankets
and pillows,
paper and towels and toilet paper and laundry detergent and soap and food
and food,
all that. So
I can never figure out how food multiplies when you're on vacation.
It
seems like we always bring back more food than we left with, and it doesn't make any sense.
And so we've had to learn to deal with this, because I mean, typically we would just be angry, downright angry with each other till we got in the car. Like, we're slamming the car doors when we get in, we're barely talking to each other. And you know, then when we became believers and we felt it was important to pray before we leave on a trip, and you know, we'd be sitting in the car with gritted teeth praying to God like this. And it would be like, dear Jesus, help us.
Help us, Lord.
And, you know, and so then we get to the point where So then we it's gotten better, and it got to the point now where at least we can, we try to pay attention to each other now, to the signals of when the other one is getting really agitated, and we stop and ask forgiveness, and we might hug and, you know, steal a kiss, or you know, just take a breath for a moment. And now we're at the point, I think, where we just anticipate that this is how it's going to be. We're getting better at better at managing it.
Well, and part of the problem for me has been, there's a lot of things that you do that I really don't know how to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to help. You know, I'll do a little bit here, a little bit there, and then I'll try, you know, can I help you? No. Can I help you? It's like, you know, if I can help you, I will, but a lot of times, you know, it's just, I can't. So, and I feel bad, and then I'm standing in your space trying to find out if I can help you, but it's annoying you because I'm in your way. But I'm helpfully in the way, if that makes any difference.
Is that what you call that?
That's what I'm going with.
That's what you're going with for that anyway. So we've started to talk with each other and try to pay attention to each other, cues better of when we're getting irritated with each other. Our speech will get a little clipped when we're talking to each other. I get a little cranky and huffy, and so do you.
I don't know about that. Okay, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe a little bit.
Maybe.
Okay, I do.
And so we just try to be aware. I try to be more cognizant of things that I know really irritate him, and really think about it, and even really stop and pray about it, and like, is this something I really need to do now? I also have learned, as I've been learning techniques to deal with the ADHD and distractions, that I have to stay focused on things, and focus is a problem for me. I see a squirrel and I go from one thing to another. And lots of times I have to self-talk myself into staying focused on a task and following through. And if I could do that, and I think too, I used to think, so I don't like to be rushed. Oh my word. That's just one thing. My mother was like that.
No, you don't.
My mother was like that.
Sorry, excuse
and
me.
I think it must be genetic. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's something that I have to get prayer for. But it's the sure way to get me to dig my heels in and take three times as long to do something is to rush me. Mm. I'm like, I do not like to be rushed. And so sometimes that's what it feels like. Well, that's when you will use humor a lot of times, because then... what is it you'll say to me? You'll say, chop, chop.
Yep.
Which just...
time to cut the cake.
Which just... you'll go, chop, chop, come on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's like, it used to really irritate me when he did that. But now I realize he's just doing it to add some levity to the situation. And so I will stop and we'll laugh about it, and then we'll go on. So...
well, and I've learned to patiently wait without saying anything. I've been trying to get better at that, because a lot of times the stuff that we have a tendency to run late, and a lot of times it's not a big deal to be late for some of the stuff. I mean, it's nice to be on time, but it just, you know, if we're a few minutes late or whatever, it's not a big deal. I'm just learning to.
Yeah. If it doesn't matter if we get there at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, whatever. I mean, if we have to be for a specific deadline or something, then we try to keep that. Mm-hmm. We've also learned too, is we set a deadline about an hour and a half earlier than when we really want to leave. And that's what I shoot
that's
for.
That's what you shoot
that's
for.
That's my target. And so then typically when I get sidetracked on all the other stuff, though, we'll be ready to go by the time we really want to go. So it's like, I've had to learn some coping skills to get through this situation and try to reduce some of the stress in it. You've learned some techniques to deal with me when I'm stressed out.
Or just deal with the stress. I mean, it's not all you. I mean, there's definitely other things going on. I mean, I get stressed out just trying to get everything organized and packed and loaded and everything ready. So, but I mean, it's been a learning process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and we're also trying to simplify things, I used to way overpack. And now I've started to keep records of what I actually wear. I take a little piece of paper and a pencil in my suitcase, and I will write down what I wear every day, because I find lots of times that I only wear about half of what I pack. Mm-hmm. And now, like this next trip we're going to go on, there's a washer and dryer at the house. And when the three couples, when we divvy up what we're going to bring to the house, there's one couple who's bringing the laundry detergent and the dryer sheets. And so we realized that we can do a load of laundry halfway through the week. We could do a load of laundry every day if we wanted to. So that takes some of the stress off. And this year we decided to, rather than hauling all this food with us, mm-hmm. and that was based on sometimes, you know, when you, if you're somebody who's rented one of these VRBO or Airbnb places, sometimes they say they come with a fully stocked kitchen, and you get there and there's three spoons, a knife, a plastic plate, and a coffee mug, and that's all there is. And so we've overplanned sometimes so that we had everything that we needed. But this time we are going back to the same house. We know it's a fully stocked kitchen. And so we made the decision to plan to eat out the night we get there, eat out breakfast the next morning. And then we're going, the ladies are going to the grocery store. We're going to decide a menu while we're out at our other meals and shop locally to the place where we're staying so that we don't have to haul all this food around. So we, you know, we're trying to, and we've done some other things like that about, do we really need to take this, or what can we take instead, or is there something smaller we can take? And
right. Well, and we've learned over the years too. I mean, it's nice going back to the same place, because we've, well, with our experience at going to these places where they say they have a fully stocked kitchen and all this other stuff, we usually end up taking some pots and pans and mm-hmm. some mixing bowls and measuring bowls and, oh my gosh, knives. I like to use a sharp knife to cut things. And sometimes, I don't know, anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, and well, and we both, because we're both like that, we both feel like we need to be prepared if something unusual happens mm-hmm. or if the weather turns weird or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, and I think we've gotten a lot better with that.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. So we're improving. So the point of this talk, if you're wondering what the point of the talk is that we've had to work through this. I mean, we could just be mad and miserable with each other the whole time, or we could expect it to be different the next time without really working on making it different. And I mean, if there's somebody on here, maybe if you are a counselor or a coach, you might approach this differently and think we need to change our behavior, and that's probably true in some things. But this is one of the times where we expect something to be more challenging than normal, rather than pretending that it's not going to be or hoping that it's not going to be. We're just like, okay, we know this is going to be stressful. How can we help each other mm-hmm. get through this? And so we've really worked at coming up with ways that when we get in the car, we're not mad at each other and not talking to each other for the first 30 minutes of the trip.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, it works for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's works for us.
So you have to decide what techniques work for you and your significant other, how you want to communicate about this. If you want to divvy up specific jobs, maybe you want to divide up jobs and say, okay, you're going to take care of this and I'm going to take care of this. I know I have a packing list where there's certain things I try to do several days ahead of time, things that can be done ahead of time that I don't have to, unfortunately, just with some stuff that goes on with me, there's a lot of stuff I have to pack at the last minute because I have to use it before the night before or the morning before we go. And but I have to plan for that. It's like, so what else can I get packed before I just have to put these things in last minute? So take a look at it. I suggest making lists or doing something, taking pictures of things that you want to pack in your suitcase or things that you want to pack to go on the trip, whatever technique works for you.
The thing to keep in mind, if you take pictures and if you make a list, and if it's something you only do once a year, make sure you put the list and the pictures where you can find them,
mm-hmm.
where they're easily accessible.
I actually put them on the calendar. So I know a lot of people, I mean, we basically use our electronic calendars, but we do have a wall calendar in the kitchen. And I actually take a paper clip and I clip lists. I do that for like stuff for like holiday meals and that type of stuff too. And I, when I get the New Year's, I clip it in the calendar at the back of the calendar after the event. And then when I get the new calendar the next January, I clip it in the month where it goes. And I found that to be helpful.
That's very helpful.
So, all right. Well, hopefully our story has given you some giggles and some tips to help you get through the vacation packing anxiety. And we will see you next time.
Have a good week.
And may your marriage be richly blessed.
Bye now.
Bye.